Yeah.
This is Talking Property on 882 6PR, the voice of Perth.
And thank you to Philippa Ma for her news at 9. She'll be back again at 10 o'clock just ahead of Saturday morning at the football. Good morning, Mr. Rob Druitt.
Good morning, Harvey Deegan and listeners. Great to be back.
Where have you been during the week? Have you been fishing, have you?
I did do a little bit of a cray dive yesterday. Ooh, it was beautiful.
Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, there's one out there for you.
Thank you.
It's not crawling anymore, but
no,
it was good. Humanely put down and then cooked yesterday for you.
Oh, you've cooked it?
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, so
well,
straight into
much.
The salad for you.
Oh, sensational, mate. That might get a run
yeah.
tonight.
Well, there's a few crays around at the moment. It's great.
Yeah.
You know, the fishery is well managed. Mm. And a friend of ours, Frank Prokop, isn't he? He comes
yes.
on the show quite regularly.
Yeah.
Knows all about it. And, the industry is well managed. And there's a few crays out there at the moment, which is great.
Righty-ho. Nine.
But we're talking property, aren't we?
We are talking property on 922 11882. And we'd like you to call us on that number or send us an email, which is harvey@6pr.com.au. Or if you like, you can send us a text at 19999677. But you won't get in the running for the $100 that our friends from Summit Homes through their Granny Flats division are providing for one of our listeners today. So you've got to call us and talk to us. And We've got a brand new expert in the studio.
We
worked very hard to get this man on the air.
I have. It's taken me 25 years, I think. Almost. It goes back a long way. A good friend of mine, Mark Saginski. We used to work together at Arthur Andersons in a former life. And Mark's continued on in the accounting profession and worked his way up, as you would expect, to being a partner in his own firm now, which is fabulous. So welcome.
Thanks, Robin. Thanks, Harvey, for having me. I'm just wondering, is there a cray outside there for me as well?
Well, let's see how the show goes today, and then I think we'll have to get one for you at least. No problems at all. So that was quite a few years ago, wasn't it? We worked together in accounting.
Well, in fact, it's almost 30 years ago, Rob.
Oh, dear. That's a worry. That's showing our age a bit, yes. But it was good times, obviously there's been a few tax changes in the meantime. We get quite a few calls, learned questions about taxation, and obviously I tell people I can't give tax advice. That was many years ago, but it's nice to have you on board, and certainly the listeners, if they've got a little tax question, we can give them some basic advice, or at least give them some idea of what questions to ask their accountant to know where they're going.
Yeah, look, as we all know, there's a lot of tricky tax issues in property, and so we look forward to sort of hearing some of those queries today, and if we can't answer them, at least put them on the right path as to where they're going to get the answer.
Now tell us a bit about your firm now.
Aria Partners, so it's a chartered accounting firm based in West Perth, and we provide all sorts of tax advice and accounting advice to individuals and small businesses and companies as well. So
good. Well, if you've got a specialist question for Mark, give us a call. If you've got a general question, Rob will handle that, and I'm here to press the buttons, and I'm going to do that right now. Lorraine of Caversham. G'day, Lorraine.
Morning, Harvey. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, Lorraine. How can we help you?
What's this good morning, Harvey? Good morning, gentlemen.
Well, I think Lorraine's right on the money there, Lorraine. You're very good. Carry on.
You're just an old fogey, Harvey.
He was asking for it, wasn't he?
You just disqualified yourself from the prize, Lorraine, but you haven't even asked a question.
You're doing well, Lorraine.
That's quite all right. What I'm ringing for is for an elderly friend of mine. She's has a neighbour that's making extensions to his house. He came over and sort of said, I'll just sign these, and she hadn't long come out of hospital, signed the plan.
There's right.
a copy from the council in the mail that was sent to her to sort of approve something else. Then
right.
when she looked at the plans, they were totally different to what she thought. She did speak to planning officer. If she isn't happy with the verdict from that person that she spoke to at the council, is there any other avenues for her to go through or somebody to speak to find out and get some peace of mind, because it is worrying her.
Okay. The thing with neighbours and extensions to properties is, I guess, on one side of the spectrum, you don't want your neighbour designing your house and designing your extensions to suit them. That is one end of the spectrum. The other end of the spectrum is if owner pushes the boundaries, so to speak, pardon the pun, but obviously has issues with privacy and overshadowing and so on. Now, years ago, the councils got themselves, I think, into a little bit of a bind because they allowed neighbours to have a little bit too much say, and it got very, very messy. What they've gone back to, which is a straightforward system, is we've got very clear codes, building codes, privacy legislation in relation to how you design your home and overlooking, overshadowing, and all those issues about solar energy and so on, and overshadowing. So those rules are fairly well set in the building code, and then, of course, councils have their own design guidelines as well. If you meet those design guidelines, then you get approval from the council, and, you know, the neighbour can jump up and down all they like, but if it meets those reasonable guidelines, then it is approved. However, sometimes an owner...
No hassles with whom this person doing the extensions or anything like it.
It's yep.
just that one side he is does... look as though he is going to be invading on her
yep.
territory.
Well, if he's outside of the guidelines, then a neighbour does have a say. And it can be approved outside the guidelines if a neighbour says, yeah, look, that's okay, I can live with that. But if it's not within those guidelines, then the neighbour can say, and legitimately and fair enough, say, no, look, that's going to have a material impact on my property. You're on the north side. It's going to create a lot of shadowing over my swimming pool, and that's going to affect the amenity of my lifestyle. And so they have a right to object to that. So it depends on the particular circumstances. You've done the right thing in going to the council. You go to the council, you see whether it falls. If it falls 100% within the building guidelines, there's very little the neighbour can say.
But if she isn't happy with the person, like the planner that approved it, is there any other avenue that she can go, you know, within the council, somebody above him that has...
Well, I would have thought so, yeah. There'll be a superior to that planner that they could talk to, and it would depend on the circumstances. I mean, was she just upset because she didn't like the answer that he said, or was he rude?
He was rude from what I gather.
Okay, well, I'm sure that further up the chain of the council would like to know that, because I know they do strive to provide service to their constituents, and obviously something's gone off the rails there.
Yes, very much so.
So I would approach council, and worst case, I suppose you could approach the CEO of the council and explain the situation.
Thank you very much for your call, Lorraine. We'll go to Cameron at Secret Harbour. G'day, Cameron.
Good morning. How are you, Harvey?
Good,
how are you,
Rob? Good.
Very good. Very good. Fire away with your question.
Okay. I just I had a properties years and years ago, and I'm getting back into the property market, and I'm just wondering, years and years ago, it seemed like people put their property about, you know, 10% or so above what they wanted for it. Is that still the case?
Or 20%?
Hey, should be or cynical.
20%? Look, we're all... we all want as much as we possibly can get for anything when we're selling it, don't we, which is fair enough. And I guess an owner as well, I think their home is always worth more to them than anybody else because they're living it and enjoying the amenity of it. So, and you're testing the market too. The worst thing of all is, oh, gee, which isn't that bad actually, you sell it straight away and you think, oh, I sold it too cheap. Look, it's I always say real estate's an art, not a science. You can't just get the calculator and say, well, that's exactly what your house is worth. It's what someone's prepared to pay. So you try to pick a price which is fair but allows a little bit of room for negotiation. At the end of the day, Cameron, the price is what we call an invitation to treat. It doesn't oblige either party, the buyer or the seller, to whatever the property would sell for. It can sell for more, it can sell for less. Yes, I would say generally sellers do put a price a bit higher to allow a bit of room for negotiation, and they feel comfortable that, okay, they haven't quickly undersold the property. But the reality is, the closer you put your price to the inherent market, the quicker you'll sell your property and the better the price you'll get.
Yes. But you'd think in this current market, the way things are lately, that there would be some discounting, like, would you think there'd be,
yes,
you know, between 5 and 10% on the list price, considering the current market?
If it's overpriced, then yes, absolutely. Yeah. But you can't really pick an exact figure because it might be priced pretty much spot on, in which case it might sell for right on the asking price.
Right on the list price.
It might sell for more because it's a little bit too sharp a price and the market sorts itself out. Or it might be way over, which there are some properties around at the moment. And you know those properties because the buyers are out in the market, they're happy to transact at the moment, but they're not happy to transact at 2013 prices. So they see something, price is the driver in the market at the moment, they see something well-priced, they'll jump on it and they'll put an offer in and they'll buy it. And if it's well-priced, it'll sell close to the asking price. If it's overpriced, they're the properties that you see are sitting around for months and months. I can't stress strong enough to sellers out there, the market has changed. If you really want to sell, you've got to meet the market. And unfortunately, it's less than what it was. So it's good for buyers.
Good on you. Thank you very much for your call. And that was Cameron from Secret Harbour. We've got Lorraine, Andy and Carol waiting online. We'll get to your calls very soon. And everyone goes in the draw today for a $100 cash prize from Summit Granny Flats. You can find out more about Summit Granny Flats at summitgrannyflats.com.au.
Talking property for Summit Homes Group. Visit summithomesgroup.com.au.
Hi, it's Chris Elsley. Coming up on Perth Tonight, our dentist, Hooman Golestani. If the teeth are giving you grief, time to give us a call. If you've got some legal issues, John Butler from Butler's Lawyers in Netherlands will be along. So too will Jodie Hopkins, our exercise physiologist. We'll be joined by Ben Aylett talking technology and Carolee Katzenbarnas with her regular segment.
Perth Tonight with Chris Elsley. Weeknights from 8 on 882 6PR. The voice of Perth.
Kitchen renovation no longer has to blow out your budget. Dianella Polishing have developed an innovative and cost-effective way to get the kitchen you've been dreaming of without losing any kitchen use. Using a new technique of resurfacing old peeling vinyl doors that reverses any damage and adding a coating of two-pack paint in the colour of your choice. See your kitchen transform from old and dull to stylishly modern at a third of the price compared to cabinet makers. For a quote, visit dianellapolishing.com.au.
It's game over. Today for Operation Demo at Bayswater Mazda. Your mission, should you choose to accept, is to drive away one of Bayswater Mazda's quality low-kilometre demos at a spectacularly low price. Time is running out. Make your way to Bayswater Mazda, 374 Guildford Road, before Operation Demo ends today. Driving is better with Bayswater Mazda. Bayswatermazda.com.au. DL25174.
Need another reason to update your blinds? How about $2 million? Get into ABC Blinds now during their $2 million clearance, where you'll save big on ABC curtains, blinds and more. Don't miss it.
Call 13 13 15 ABC.
One in six Australians has a hearing problem. Let's put your hearing to the test. Can you hear these five everyday sounds? If you can't hear all the sounds, please get a professional free hearing check. Call 1-800-489-819 or search Audio Clinic. Stop your hearing from disappearing at Audio Clinic. Free hearing check available to adults over 26 only.
You can now suit yourself at Tony Barlow Menswear with $200 to $400 off all pure wool suits. World-class brands are now $200 to $400 off. Suit yourself now from just $399 only at Tony Barlow Menswear.
I have a passion for criminal law. It stems from being involved in an innocence project. As the name suggests, it investigates whether a person has been wrongfully convicted of a crime. Being charged with a criminal offence is an extremely stressful time, both for the person involved and for their family. It's been a rewarding experience helping someone go through the justice system and ensuring that they get the best possible outcome. My name is Elena Caro and I work as a criminal lawyer at Slater & Gordon.
Sue McDougall here. Imagine your wedding surrounded by picturesque lakes, magnificent scenery and landscaped gardens. Say I do as the sun sets over the magnificent Golden Ponds. Golden Ponds Function Centre caters for up to 300 people with accommodation available on site for your guests. Golden Ponds Function Centre, the perfect oasis for your wedding or next function such as birthdays, corporate or any celebration. Visit the Golden Ponds website for function information or call for availability.
Until 10, this is Talking Property.
It is indeed, and of course Rob Druitt in the studio with me, and Mark Zaglinski is in the studio as well from Aria. It's pronounced Aria, isn't it?
Aria.
How do you spell? Double A?
Double A-R-Y-A. Double A. So spelled simply, pronounced simply.
How many accounting firms have three A's in their name?
I don't know, but I always thought I'd be at the top of the list.
Yes,
advertising and, you know.
The other option was Aardvark Real Estate.
Triple A accounting. Yeah, I think that had gone.
Yeah. No, that's excellent, mate. So, of course, Mark is an expert as far as property accounting is concerned, property finance. So give him a call on 922-11882. Got heaps and heaps of calls. Lorraine of Hillary's. G'day, Lorraine.
Oh, Lorraine. I'm calling on behalf of this lad. She's met a chap and he's owned his own house and she wants to move in with him and
right.
She's offered to help with the mortgage.
Yes.
But and she's been advised to take out a declaration of trust. How legal is that document?
Oh, look, if it's appropriately drawn up, then it's agreement between the parties. It certainly makes sense if you're contributing to a mortgage on property, and you know it'll be a matter of agreement between the parties, but it would be best to get a solicitor, appropriately qualified person, to draw that up, and then it would be a legally binding document.
It is a legally binding document.
I certainly think so, yeah. If it's a, it's certainly legal, and it's been drawn up by two consenting parties in relation to the arrangement, then certainly that
would... How would that affect the title deed?
Well, the title deed probably wouldn't change, because once you start to put another person's name on the title, you're talking about stamp duty implications, and if it's a principal residence, well, Mark can talk about this, where there won't be capital gains tax involved, but there's all sorts of implications. So the best thing is probably to have a separate agreement in relation to how the parties want to make the arrangement with the payment of the mortgage.
Yeah, look, and I agree, Rob. Any declaration of trust, you need to get legal advice on it and also see your accountant as well, because it could be an in part disposition of part of the property, which might then not be taxable if it's subject, you know, the principal residence exemption, but otherwise it might be. So just be a little bit careful and seek some professional advice before you sign anything.
Okay, thank you.
Good on you. Thanks, Lorraine. Interesting question, that
good
one.
Good question.
Yeah. Andy of Morley. G'day, Andy.
Good morning, sir. How are you today?
Fine, thank you.
Do you mind if I make a little comment before I ask the question?
Depends what the comment is, and then we'll tell you if we
it's
mind.
It's something to do with the price of the land.
Okay, fire away, Andy.
I have a neighbor of mine. He wants to develop his block of land. But before he can develop his block of land, next door neighbor, he need to agree, because the services come to the edge of next door neighbor land. So he paid $200,000 extra for his neighbor above the market price to buy his neighbor out so he could let the street and the services coming to his property. And that's how sometimes the prices, it can go up or down.
Well, that's a particular circumstance. Yep. Good end.
Yes. I have a question to you. My question is, if me and my neighbor wanted to develop the two blocks of land, my block and his block.
Yes.
Do we need to amalgamate the property, or we can do it without amalgamation? And then I will ask you the second question.
Okay. Look, you can do it either way, depending on the particular development. If you just had a shared driveway... you could have an easement with that, and you could have your separate titles. That would actually be a lot simpler. Once you amalgamate the land, it gets a bit more complicated, because you're all going to be on the title, and there's tax implications, isn't there, Mark?
Indeed. If you amalgamate it, you're selling half of your block to each other, so that could be a taxable, or it probably will be a taxable event for you.
Which is not what you really want, obviously. And it does complicate things from a finance point of view, because all of a sudden you're... together with the one property, therefore any loan that you take out, you'll be jointly and severally liable for each other for that particular loan. So if you can do the development without changing the title, that would be better. It depends on your particular circumstance. In the idea of the development, is it as simple as putting a number of units on and having a shared driveway? Would that be one way to do it?
I think so. I mean, the two block of land is owned by me, but
Oh, well, that's very easy. Unless you have an argument with yourself, you're fine.
Shall I give... No, I want to give them to my kids first before I do the subdivision. That's exactly...
Okay. Well, that's probably a little bit different. What do you reckon, Mark? I mean, transfer, isn't it?
That's not a bad idea. One of the issues with subdivisions generally is, how's it going to be taxed? So we're all kind of used to the idea of capital gains tax. If you sell something, you get a capital gain, you might get a 50% discount if you've held it for more than 12 months. But once you start to subdivide, there's a question mark of if you're carrying on a business and what they call profit from isolated transactions, which means you get taxed as revenue rather than capital gains. So therefore, your tax bill doubles, essentially. So that's something you just need to be very careful about with any of these sorts of enterprises. And for that reason, people will often sell their land to a related party so they get their capital gains tax discounts, and then that related party, which might be your family trust or company or relatives or whatever, undertakes the development themselves, and they get taxed on the profit over and above that marker of the land price at the time. And that tends to be a more efficient way from a tax perspective to do these things.
The second question, if I own a commercial business and I want to move it to my self-managed super fund, and I've been running out of that commercial business, my other business, for more than 15 years. What is the best thing to do? Can you please guide me to a party who can help me with that? because, you know, there are lots of rules and regulation, and I'm not aware of many of those.
Mm-hmm. I can think of somebody about a metre and a half from me.
There's a couple of fingers pointing towards me here, so I better take this question. Okay, so when you say a commercial business, I guess what you're talking about there is you've got a property, a commercial property, and the question is whether or not you can move that into your super fund. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah, okay. So self-managed super funds are a very interesting and obviously growing sector within the Australian economy, and people are looking for different ways to use the self-managed super. And one obvious choice is whether or not we can put property in there. And generally the answer is yes, you can put property in there, but you need to be careful of a bunch of different rules. So one of the issues is when you acquire property from yourself. So if a self-managed super fund acquires property from a related party, there's only a certain limited number of circumstances you can do that. And one of those is where you buy what's called business real property. So that's a property, it could be a factory or a warehouse or an office, where a business is conducted out of. So that is an allowable transaction with most self-managed super funds, and you can conduct it. You obviously need to be careful of the borrowing rules. Super funds generally can't borrow money. But they can under certain circumstances. And obviously you need to have enough funds within the super fund to do that as well. And the one final word I'd just make is with anything to do with superannuation, make sure it complies with the sole purpose test, which is why have I set up my super fund, which is about providing retirement benefits for the members, and is this investment decision consistent with that overall or overarching plan to provide retirement benefits? So, and if there's any confusion or any concern whatsoever, make sure you talk to your accountant, and more importantly, whoever is the auditor of your self-managed super fund.
They've got to be agreeable,
don't
they?
They're happy with what the plan is, because if they're not happy with it and they sign off that you're non-complying, then you've got a real big problem with your self-managed super fund.
Can I get your number on air so I could call you later on?
If you go to our website, you'll find our contact details there, which is simply ariapartners.com.
Yep.
ariapartners.com. Thank you.
ariapartners.com.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
You are more than welcome, Andy. Thank you very much.
Good, Andy. Some very insightful questions here.
Yeah. Carol of Manning. G'day, Carol.
Good morning, gentlemen, including Harvey.
There we are. We've had that clarified. He's feeling much better now. Gee, Carol, you're top of the list now.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
I have a question regarding repairs and maintenance versus non-deductible expenditure.
Capital expenditure, yes. It's always a good one, yes.
The situation where a property had battery-powered smoke detectors and had one RCD in the meter box, which was the requirement at that point. But where now the battery smoke detectors had to be changed to mains-powered ones, and a second RCD had to be installed to meet the regulations, is that new expenditure tax deductible? Because I had heard that, you know, I assumed it probably would have been, but I'd heard someone say that no, it wasn't, and I thought maybe there was a, sounded like there might have been a tax ruling on it, but I couldn't find anything on the tax office website, but it was rather confusing trying to...
Mark's itching to answer this question.
indeed. There may well be a ruling on this one or a determination. I haven't seen it myself, but there are tens of thousands of rulings as well. Let me sort of go back to some general principles. So essentially, you're allowed an outright deduction for repairs and maintenance. And what a repair or maintenance is where you restore something to a condition that it was previously. And that's where you're fixing wear and tear.
So it's not an improvement.
Yes, that's right. And it has to be something that's in need of repair. But anything that's an improvement or enhances the functionality of something is typically considered a capital improvement. So those things get capitalised and depreciated over a period of time. Now, it may well be with the depreciation rate that you get a high level of deduction each year in any event, but certainly these sorts of items tend to fall into that improvement category. And also, one other sort of word of caution is when you buy a property and you make improvements immediately, typically they're all classified as improvements rather than repairs. So they'll be depreciated. So I think the answer on this is probably is an improvement and therefore depreciable, but I will undertake to see if there's any rulings on this specific item.
Very good. We can report back. Yeah, it's an interesting area, isn't it? It's like when people come in and they repaint the house. If they do it immediately when they buy the place, it'll be capital. But at the end of a tenancy, it needs a repaint. capital or deductible?
Well, at the end or during, if it's just touching up walls, it's probably immediately
deductible. What about a total repaint?
But if it's a total repaint, then there's probably some element of improvement in that, and therefore it needs to be depreciated.
And same with carpets and so on. If carpets are fully replaced?
Indeed.
Capital?
Yeah. Or improved, right? You change the nature of the flooring.
Yeah, it's an interesting area that often people get confused with.
You happy with that, Carol?
Thanks for the call, Carol.
Good on you. Thank you very much for your call. 9221882 is the number to phone us on. And if so, you go into the draw for the $100 cash from Summit Granny Flats. You can check them out on summitgrannyflats.com.au. And if you want to send a text, that's fine. 19999677 or an email to harvey@6pr.com.au.
Talking property for Summit Homes Group. Visit summithomesgroup.com.au.
Attention 6PR footy fans. The game, Tab Touch's new tipping and fantasy competition, is giving you the chance to be a winner, even if you can't seem to pick one.
All you need to do is place your tips, play draft fantasy or pick seven each week, then watch 7 News on Tuesday nights to see if your name is announced as a finalist. You could drive away in a Mazda BT50 worth more than $55,000.
Sign up to play now at thegame.com.au. Your new home for AFL tipping and fantasy. Brought to you by Tab Touch, Mazda, Channel 7, The West Australian and 882 6PR.
It's time for Perth to go full bloom. The Perth Garden Festival presented by the Sunday Times is back. Visit WA's biggest garden and outdoor lifestyle event and explore WA's largest plant market. Or be inspired by Perth's best landscape designers at the SunSmart Show Gardens. It's 4 days of bargains, new plant releases, innovative garden products and loads more on the Bupa main stage. See you at the Perth Garden Festival, April 28th to the 1st of May, McCallum Park, Victoria Park. Buy tickets online at perthgardenfestival.com.
Darren McCauley here, calling all homeowners, tradies and DIYers. Quality blinds can be hard to find, so see the guys that are ahead of the pack, Sunblock Blinds. They're a one-stop shop with indoor blinds, the latest style carpets, timber flooring and custom-made quality curtains. In fact, if it's for the home, you'll probably find it at Sunblock Blinds. Their trained technicians use the latest technology, and if I had it my way, I'd call them the best in Perth when it comes to quality, style and value. Get in and see for yourself. Sunblockblinds.com.au.
Tony L Fresh Food Market is bringing farm fresh produce to you with the best selection of fresh fruit and veg, like new season Royal Gala apples, $1.99 per kilo, premium bananas, just $1.99 per 750 gram bag, freshly picked sweet potatoes, $2.99 per kilo, Cafe Aurora beans, 1 kilo bag for $9.99, and Monado Cantuccini biscuits, 250 gram pack, just $1.99. Some items pre-packed, prices may vary. Tony L Fresh Food Market, open 8 to 6, 7 days a week, 86 Hammond Road, Jandakot.
Own the feeling at Kalamunda Toyota with the 2016 Corolla Ascent Sports CVT hatch from just $23,990 drive away. Feel alive, feel confident, feel good. Test drive the Corolla now at Kalamunda Toyota. Satisfaction at Perth's highest level. Only available on vehicles purchased on or before 30 April 2016. For terms and conditions, see kalamundatoyota.com.au. Kalamunda Toyota. DL2201.
Right now at Masters, don't miss 10 to 50% off all pots. Yes, a huge 10 to 50% saving on their entire range of pots. That's all indoor and outdoor pots, planters and hanging baskets, every pot they have. Now between 10 and 50% off. But you'll want to be quick to grab 10 to 50% off pots because this offer ends Wednesday, April 20. It's a huge pot clearance with 10 to 50% off all pots only at Masters. There are Masters stores right throughout Perth, including Bayswater, Bibra Lake, Lansdale, Ellenbrook, Joondalup, Forestdale, Brighton, Baldivis and Mandurah.
One in six Australians has a hearing problem. Let's put your hearing to the test. Can you hear these five everyday sounds? If you can't hear all the sounds, please get a professional free hearing check. Call 1-800-489-819 or search Audio Clinic. Stop your hearing from disappearing at Audio Clinic. Free hearing check available to adults over 26 only.
Buying, selling or renting. Get Perth's best real estate advice now. Call 922-11882.
That is a great idea, and responding in spades today you all are, which is lovely. Jeff of Kenwick. G'day, Jeff.
How are you going? How's things?
Things are well, thanks, mate.
that's the way. I've got a property where we're purchasing at the moment, and a little bit of the retaining wall around the side of the property's actually moved and is, looks like it's coming in a little touch.
Yep.
The actual the neighbour of the property would be actual council because it's a council reserve.
Okay.
So I was just wondering, before the final settlement, should that be fixed up as part of the everything in working condition, or is that just something I'd have to take on myself?
Generally, yes, if it was evident at the time of buying the property. Basically, when you buy a property in the state and condition that it is, unless the seller has warranted that there will be certain things fixed.
Yep.
The first question I'd have for you, Jeff, is the retaining wall on the council side, or is it in within your property?
No, it's within the property. The council side's actually higher, so
yep.
We're retaining the council side back, yeah.
Yeah, so therefore to be the responsibility of the owner of the property.
That's correct.
Generally, retaining walls, the basic rule is that you're required, if you alter the land, you're required to retain the land. So
yes.
It sounds to me like when this block was done, they needed to cut in and obviously retain some of the soil at the back, and obviously that would, so then the retaining wall would be within the boundary of the particular property. So yes, it's your responsibility. Unlikely to be the responsibility of the seller unless it was brought up at the time of contracting that, hey, look,
yep.
That's part of the contract. I want that fixed. Did you notice it at the time of buying the property? Was it evident?
It was sort of, when you look down the fence line, you could see a little dip in the fence, and then when
yep.
I've had a closer look, you could actually see it's just
yeah.
moved. It's just, it's one of those plank retaining walls, so it's reasonably
twin side, I think we call it, yes. So
yes, yeah.
It might be quite easy to fix, or it depends how unsightly it is. You might find it's been like that for the last 20 years. Uncommon, you get a little bit of movement with retaining walls, particularly the twin side. How high is it retaining?
The actual top of the asbestos fence on top of the retaining wall would be over.
But the actual retaining, how many panels are there? Two or three?
There'd be three layers of probably three retainers each.
Yeah, so about a metre or so. But to answer your question, most likely be your responsibility.
No worries. And anything that happens to that actual fence, I've heard that it's solely on my...
Yes, that's a good point. With councils, that's right. Yeah, it's different from having a neighbour, individual neighbour next door. Councils will put that fully on you with regard to your fence.
Thank you, Jeff. Now to Amelia of Bayswater. Good day, Amelia.
Good morning.
Morning.
What can we do for you?
My question is regarding finding a property manager.
Ah, yes.
We've recently or about to settle on an investment, and I'm just finding it difficult to perhaps wade through the different options.
Okay, I think the best thing you could do would be to ring the Real Estate Institute of Western Australia on mm-hmm. Monday. If you ring REWA, what area are you in, Amelia? You're in the Bayswater area?
The property's in Yokine.
In Yokine? If you ring REWA on Monday and you speak to Jenny Hay, who's on the information line, they'll be able to recommend, she'll be able to recommend three good REWA agents in the area who could help you.
And what about the option of doing it for yourself?
You can, if you're glutton for punishment in this market, which is a tough rental market, knock your socks off. That's
so you
tough.
Feel like they're worth the...
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, okay. Look, I'm a licensed agent. I could manage my own properties. There's no way. I literally pay my own firm to do it. I wouldn't touch it. And then set and forget. And, you know, for, roughly, let's say 10% of the rental, covering all of your management and leasing and so on, it's all done for you. Much easier than trying to get out there and lease the property in a very difficult leasing market and managing the property. You're far better off getting a really good, competent REWA managing agent.
And Amelia, one of our respected clients here at 882 6PR is DeFreitas and Ryan, and I would give them a call.
Absolutely.
See how they
good REWA
shape
member.
Up. Yep, good REWA member. You got that? DeFreitas and Ryan?
Wonderful. Thank
okay.
you so
good
much.
On you. No worries. Kerry of Champion Lakes. Good day, Kerry.
Oh, hello. good morning to you all, too.
Morning.
And morning. I'm just ringing up when that caller spoke about the smoke alarm.
Oh, yes.
Earlier on. My daughter and her husband bought a house 2 years ago in the Kelmscott Hills. And when I was in the family area, I noticed that it only has a battery smoke alarm.
Well, that
and
generally wouldn't comply.
The, when the rules came in. They bought it through a real estate agent.
1st of July 2010, I think it was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so... or was it 12? Time flies. But it was certainly more than 3-4 years ago. The requirement is very clear that with residual current devices and also smoke alarms. Smoke alarms are overseen by FISA, the government department, state government department, and you're required to have the respective number of smoke alarms in relation to the number of bedrooms of the house. So you might get away with one or you might need 4 or 5, but an qualified electrician will know the requirements and then will sign off a compliance certificate. There are some circumstances where you can use battery operated, and they are in situations where you've got these old apartments with a concrete roof because it's multi-storey and you can't get cabling in and so on. Then you can have a particular brand of battery operated smoke alarm, but only in that situation. If it's a normal house, then you're required to have individual hardwired smoke alarms. So
it looks like a flat roof, but they've had solar panels put on.
Okay, well then it might comply. It might comply because they may not have been able to put cabling in. The best thing to do would be to get an electrician there to verify that. And if it doesn't comply, theoretically, you still have a right to go back to the previous owner. It is the owner of the property who has a legal obligation to comply with legislation, but whether it's worth doing that, I'd get an electrician in, just confirm it complies.
Thank you, Kerry. To Hamilton Hill now. G'day, Michael.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
How is everybody this morning?
We're very well, thank you.
Very busy. Yeah. I got a warehouse which consists of two units. In one of the units, which is 431 square metres, the whole property has its own bore and reticulated lawns and gardens, and it's a very attractive appearance. My current tenant hasn't renewed the lease, and he wants a very hefty discount. How do I go about? How do I find out what the average is?
Okay.
Rent now?
Yes. Look,
it's Jandakot.
Okay, that was my next question. Where is it? Jandakot. Okay, look, it's probably quite correct. Rental prices across the board, I would say, for industrial commercial have fallen 15 to 25%, depending on location and property style and so on, and age. So it's probably quite realistic what they're asking for, because they certainly have compressed the leasing prices. I would be speaking to local REWA commercial agents in the area and have a chat to them to see where the leasing rate is, to see whether that works in with what the tenant is offering. And certainly if you have it managed by a REWA agent, they would be giving you the right advice as to where the rental should be. But it certainly will be less than what it was because the market has pegged back.
And if we don't agree on the price, I can start advertising for new tenants.
You can, but be very careful with that. If they're a good tenant, my advice to you would be to eat up a rent reduction. Mm. It is a nice humble pie to eat at the moment. It's much better than having your property vacant for 6 months.
Thank you, Michael. Interesting one here from the text, and no name, unfortunately, but we'll answer your question anyway. Is it worth getting a building inspection, in brackets $400, for a final inspection of an off-the-plan apartment?
Probably not.
No,
because it's brand new and it's under warranties. And
because you're looking at structural stuff, aren't you? Yeah.
Yeah, and so you certainly can if you want, but probably not so necessary. I would say definitely a good idea with a property that is, 40, 50 years old and you want to renovate it and just want to check there's no structural problems, but a new property off the plan, you can be pretty sure that you've got it covered.
Can give us the $400 if you like, Will.
Yeah, that's right. We'll go and have a quick look. And say,
now, your last
tell
chance.
Us our unqualified opinion. No,
right.
Not a good idea.
Your last chance to join us on the program and make use of our special guest today. His first and certainly won't be his last appearance, Mark Siglinski, from ARIA Partners. And Mark is here because he's an accountant. One of the rare ones, he's got a personality. It's incredible, isn't it? I mean, and he's answering all your questions regarding, I've just insulted every accountant in town. Rob, never mind, but was your
that's
line?
That's okay. Yeah. I know, that's right. I know. Accountant with personality.
Look, it's an accurate comment, Harvey. So
We've got it on record. There we go.
Record now.
There we are. See, he's got personality.
Yes,
amazing.
Exactly. 922-11882 is the number.
Talking property for Summit Homes Group. Visit summithomesgroup.com.au. Every Sunday morning on 6PR, we open the door to the house of wellness.
Okay, let's admit it. Sometimes we eat and drink too much of the wrong thing. Our experts will tell you to improve your diet, but would a complete detox be the answer? This week on the show, we find out whether detox diets actually work, plus everything else you need to know to get well, stay well, live well, and look great.
Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
The House of Wellness, 8 a.m. Sunday on 6PR.
Hi, I'm Nat from Subpro Realty, here to give you an advantage over other property investors. Have you ever thought of buying an investment property? Want to build on your existing portfolio or complete a development? Our skilled buyer's agents at Subpro Realty can help you achieve your property goals. We research, inspect and negotiate on your behalf to get you the best deal. If you want an edge, contact subpro.com.au. Your property, our passion.
It's a little cough. You'll be fine, Dad. You don't need to see a doctor.
You don't need your bank card, Mum. How can you take care of your money when you can't even take care of yourself?
You'll eat when I'm good and ready, Dad. I've got to go out, so you're just going to have to wait.
Where do you think you're going? Who would want to see you?
1 in 20 people suffer from elder abuse, with 73% of abusers being relatives. If you or someone you know is a victim, call the Elder Abuse Helpline on 1300 724 679. Visit advocare.org.au.
Are you paying too much for your life insurance? Well, here's how to find out. 50 Up Club has a limited time offer with a 137-year-old provider, Noble Oak. Join now at 50upclub.com, and if you take up the special life insurance offer, you'll get a 20% discount for the life of the policy, plus pay no premium for your first month. So get a quick quote at 50upclub.com and see if you can save. Any general advice provided by 50 Up Club Proprietary Limited does not take into account your individual objectives, financial situation or needs. You should consult or consider whether the advice is right for you and read the financial services guide and PDS at 50upclub.com. Join 50 Up Club today. Almost 200,000 members cannot be wrong. Log on now, 50upclub.com.
Emergency Denture Repairs and Dental 777 provide a complete service for all your dental needs. General, cosmetic, implant and prosthetic dentistry. EDR manufacture affordable dentures and implant dentures on site and do emergency repairs while you wait. They offer rebates from all health funds with up to 80% rebate for HBF members plus. Call 9382-2222 to book with an EDR or dental 777 surgery today.
You can now suit yourself at Tony Barlow Menswear with $200 to $400 off all pure wool suits. World-class brands are now $200 to $400 off. Suit yourself now from just $399 only at Tony Barlow Menswear.
One in six Australians has a hearing problem. Let's put your hearing to the test. Can you hear these five everyday sounds? If you can't hear all the sounds, please get a professional free hearing check. Call 1-800-489-819 or search Audio Clinic. Stop your hearing from disappearing at Audio Clinic. Free hearing check available to adults over 26 only.
This is Talking Property on 882-6PR. The voice of Perth.
And getting towards the end of the show, Chris of Forestdale is online. G'day, Chris.
Got a couple of little questions.
Yeah, mate, fire away.
First one is in regards to the capital gain 50% discount.
Yep.
Is that based upon the release of land title deeds or the signing of the contract? So if there's a gap of a few years in between the contract signed and when the title deeds get released, does the 12-month kick in from when the contracts are signed or when the title deeds are released?
Right, okay, so capital gains tax is about contracts. So the question is, when is the contract made? And sometimes you might sign a contract, but you actually don't have a contract yet because there's conditions precedent. So once those conditions precedent have met, that's when you have a contract at that point in time. And that may well be a different time period to when the title deeds are released, but that'll be a start point for CGT purposes.
And what's your other question, mate?
All right. How long do you have to live in a property to make it your primary residence so you don't have to pay tax?
Yeah, that's always a good one, isn't it?
So the whole, main residence exemption is quite a complicated area. You can only have one main residence at a point in time, but you need to go in and establish it as your main residence. So generally at a minimum 3 months, but it really depends on the circumstances. If you have another main residence, if you're moving between residences, if you've been away, and if you've rented it out as well. So you need to consider all of those aspects to work out whether or not you're going to get an exemption and how much of an
exemption.
Could
be 1 day or 1 year. Couldn't it, really? But you'd have to demonstrate that you didn't do it as a way of avoiding tax.
Oh, so if you are physically doing it, if you're living in a house for 12 months to avoid paying tax, they won't let you do it.
Oh, no. You can certainly move into the house, and if it's your main residence, i.e. Yep. you don't have another main residence, you will get at least a partial exemption.
Okay, good on you. Thank you, Chris. Now, the immediate past president of the Real Estate Institute of Western Australia is Mr. David Airy. And he and you, Rob, have come across a very interesting article on the front page of today's Australian newspaper.
Yeah, it's about the apartment market. Are you there, Sir David?
Good morning, Rob Druitt and Harvey Deegan. I'm very well and nice to be on your program again.
It's lovely to have you.
Yes, it's been around for a little while, hasn't it, the apartment market and whether the bubble is going to burst. Tell us a bit about it, David.
Rob, you know, we had a lot of dialogue on this when I was president at REWA, and I think it started, a few years ago when you were finishing off as these many suburbs started to see these apartment blocks popping up. But in recent times, the predictions that REWA were making have started to become true. We've had the AMP as investments that are blacklisting more than 140 suburbs for apartment lending simply due to growing concerns about oversupply. And I think the problem we've got in the Perth market is that In the last year, if we just analyse it, there's still 10,000 rentals available for rent. Sales have, despite optimistic predictions of improvements in the market, general sales across the border are languishing. They're 25% below the long-term average. Mm. And weighing over all this is this constant supply of new stock coming into the market. Now, this is going to take, with the number of, there's apparently 5,000 to 7,000 apartments unsold in Perth. This is a huge weight on top of the market, and I just really wondered what your view and your colleague there, Michael, I think it is, might be seeing this.
Mark,
some of Mark, yeah, might be seeing with clients asking for advice, because a lot of them are going to be unwillingly negative geared in the coming over the last year and certainly coming years, with rental predictions being a lot lower than was expected.
Exactly, that's right. Look, I think we had the very same question last week, and my response was, yes, there's going to be areas of the Perth market that are clearly going to be oversupplied, and there are oversupplied areas right now, and that will exacerbate, unfortunately. I think AAA locations are still selling very well, and Elizabeth Quay was a good example of that,
yes.
Has sold out very quickly. But other locations that perhaps don't have the same amenity as sort of right on the water or very close to city and so on, close to amenities, will be struggling. The market will self-correct over the next 12 months. There'll be a lot of developments that don't get up because the banks are tightening their finance criteria, and if you don't sell 50 or 60%, then you're not going to get the finance. So it will self-correct. I don't see a major crash in the market, but I do see tough times ahead, and I see some discounting of apartments. And, of course, there's always the other side of the equation, isn't there, Dave? And that'll be great for the buyers.
Well, it's certainly making the established apartment market look like older units, particularly in the areas that I work in the western suburbs, where you've got those 30, 40, 50-year-old units in apartments. They have really suffered quite heavily, because why would you buy old and have to renovate if you can buy new? That's the temptation. But, of course, generally speaking, it comes down to location. The older properties are in the far better locations.
Significantly
have lower operating costs.
Correct. Welcome back from overseas, David, and I expect the T-shirt from Paris in 6PR very soon. Take care, mate.
Harvey, all the best.
See, David Airy. Very quickly, Kathy, I have just had a house built. She names the builder. Who is responsible for the smoke alarms?
The owner would be responsible, and that should be in the building contract because it's a legislative requirement that the owner of the property puts in the appropriate smoke alarms and residual current devices as per the legislation.
Mm-hmm. So there you go. Now, our winner today of the $100 cash from Summit Granny Flats is Lorraine of Hillary. She was one of our earlier callers, and a great question about sharing property and someone moving in and signing all sorts of interesting legal documents. Well answered, gentlemen, by the way, and that has helped Lorraine win today. She has won $100 thanks to Summit Granny Flats. summitgrannyflats.com.au is the email address. Now, Mark, just before we let you go, thank you for coming in today. We're going to have you back very soon. Tell us a bit about Aria Partners very quickly before you go.
Yeah, well, we're a chartered accounting firm. We provide tax advice and business advice to small businesses and companies and individuals.
Mm-hmm. And how do we get in touch with you?
Just look for our website, aria-partners.com.
Very good indeed. Now, Mr. Druitt, you're kind of dressed up today, indicating you're actually working a little bit today and not fishing.
Yes. No, definitely not cray diving today. Busy day today. Only the one auction. Crack of a property, actually. Very well priced. Motivated seller at 351 Karen Up Road. Duplex block up high with views. Big home. We're going to start the bidding around 600. So that should sell. And another two, three auctions tomorrow. So, no, all good. Auctions are going well. I had five last weekend.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
There was a press release from Rewa during the week saying that time to sell is definitely less if you go to auction, which was great.
There seems to be more people turning to auctions. It would seem just on a very small survey I've done with you when you mentioned what you're doing on the weekend. And you've got a lot more auctions, I think, than...
Yes, definitely kicked up. Yeah. We're probably running at about 50% more auctions across Perth than we have in the past. Sellers are looking for new ways to sell and get a bit of urgency in the market, but they need to meet the market and then it'll sell.
Fantastic. Thanks very much to Jess, who was our producer today. She's done an absolutely fantastic job out there on the desk. We are indebted to her, and I think our regular producer, Gemma, will be back next week. And again, Mark, we'll have you in very soon. You're off next week, and Hayden Grove's coming in?
Hayden's coming in to fill the spot. Fantastic. Which is great.
We shall look forward to that. Stand by now for the news on 882 6PR, followed by a Saturday morning at the football.
Talking property for Summit Homes Group. Visit summithomesgroup.com.au.